during those hurting times. All of us have been in circumstances where the weight of concern, of uncertainty, presses with such intensity that though we should pray, we simply do not know what to say. There are times when I found myself repeatedly saying, "Oh, Father, oh, Father, oh, Father," without saying much of anything else. I would try to think of something else, but all other words seemed out of place. I did not know what to ask. I didn't know what to say. In those darkest of times, our most marvelous, all-wise God does our praying for us. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Romans 8:26-27. Immediately following those words, we find Romans 8:28. Of all the means toward God's perfect ends, are perfect too. All of the means toward God's perfect ends are perfect too. There we go. Sorry. Why? Because a perfect prayer authored by an all-wise God will most certainly have a perfect answer. He intercedes for us according to the will of God. Now that is encouragement. Yet there is more. This same flow of thought is climaxed by Paul reminding us that if God willingly did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? That's verse 32. Could anything more be added to that? Yes. This one who gives out of his limitless wisdom and purpose assures us that nothing shall be able to separate us from his love. Perfect means and perfect ends are all in his sovereign control. Many of our whys will have to wait until heaven for answers. Yet there are times when God allows us now to look back on one of those dark memories from the past and see it from the vantage point of his perfect wisdom. How could something go wrong so tragic ever work together for good? And yet it did. It makes sense now, even as Joseph discovered when at last he embraced his brothers. Remember the story in Genesis 37-50. If in those moments we are privileged to taste a bit of the wonder of God's wisdom, what will heaven be like when at last I shall know fully, just as also I have been fully known? To see this more clearly, let's create a situation. Imagine with me two farmers. One raises wheat and the other, down the road a ways, raises tomatoes. Both farmers have balloon payments coming due on their mortgages. Everything hinges on harvest time. A crop failure would mean loss of the farm. Let's complicate things a bit more. In each family, the farmer's wife is very sick and in need of expensive surgery. Without it, there is little hope of improvement. And one more thing. Both families are faithfully walking with God. It's evening. Each family listens intently to the weather forecast. There's a 50-50 chance of rain this particular night. The wheat farmer is well aware that his fields need one more heavy, soaking rain to bring the grain through to harvest. With that, the farm could be theirs, and his wife might be able to walk again. Down the road, the other farmer knows that his tomatoes are right at their prime, ready to be harvested. But if the rains come, not only will his fields become a muddy bog, making it impossible to harvest, but also the moisture could trigger a blight that would destroy the entire crop. Without the harvest, they will lose everything. After the weather report, each family gathers around the bed in the room where mom is resting. Each family prays, mom and dad and a couple of children. One by one, they lift their hearts to God. Dear Lord, praise the wheat family. You know what is at stake. Please, Lord, send the rain. You know how much we want to please you. If only you would bring the rain, Lord, it would mean so much to us, and we would give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Down the road, four equally earnest prayers ascend to God. Oh, Father, please, please keep the rain from falling. Everything depends on this harvest. Thank you for listening. We trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen. As the younger child slides off the bed, she turns to her mother and says, "Don't worry, Mommy. I know he will answer our prayers. Good night." It's silent now, except for the wind whistling around the corners of the farmhouses. The hours pass by. What will happen? Here's where we play God. We could arrange to have the rain follow the fence line between the two farms, wet on one side and dry on the other. But that's not the way things usually are. What will we do? Let's find out. Suddenly, the wheat farmer awakens. He heard a tinkle on the sheet metal roof of the garage. He holds his breath. Just one drop? Is that all? No. In moments, the tinkles multiply until they sound like thunder on the roof. Two children are running down the hall. They've heard it too. Bouncing on mommy's bed, they shout, "God heard our prayers." He heard them. Isn't it exciting? Once again, the family gathers with tears of joy, praising the Lord. But down the road, the other farmer also hears the first rain drop. Sitting up in bed, he too holds his breath. Perhaps it will stop. Please, Father, oh, please. But no. Louder and louder, the sheets of rain sweep over his house, splattering against the windows. He sees in his mind those fields so full of lush tomatoes, beaten down, drowning in the mud. Quietly, he slips back beneath the blankets. There's no sound of children's feet running down the hall in this home, but in the darkness he feels the gentle squeeze of his wife's hand on his shoulder. As she whispers, "Sweetheart, it's all right. God cares. God knows." Next morning, breakfast time with the Wheat family. And what a breakfast it is. Mom scurries around the kitchen in her wheelchair. Everybody is so excited. "Daddy," one of the children says, "everything is all right, isn't it? We can pay off the farm and Mommy will be well again. Isn't God wonderful?" And the tomato farm, there's breakfast too, but it's very quiet. Father says he'll ask the blessing. But instead there's a long, long pause. Finally, unable to hold back the tears, he speaks between his sobs, "Lord, we prayed. We really thought we prayed the way we should. And Lord, we don't understand. It seems so right that you would answer, but thank you, Lord. You do love us. We know that, and we'll keep right on trusting you no matter what happens now." The silence that follows is broken by some very hurting whys. And Daddy finds he has no answers. Since this is our story, let's not stop it now. Let's imagine 5 years have gone by. We're walking again down the lane by those same two farms. The first thing that catches our eye is the freshly painted barn and a new car parked in front of one farmhouse. Out behind, stretching out as far as we can see, are rolling hills covered with wheat. Let's move up close by the window. There's Mom standing, looking robust and strong, walking around the kitchen and fixing breakfast. The kids are just coming in, 5 years older now. There's Dad, taking off his boots after the early morning chores. "Family," he says, "do you know what day this is? This is the 5th anniversary of the greatest crises our family has ever gone through. Do you remember that night we prayed? God heard our prayer, didn't he? Dad, wasn't it great? Mom's well now. The farm is all ours, isn't it, Dad?" "That's right. In fact, God has blessed us more than I had ever dreamed. He deserves not only our thanks, but our lives. So let's gather around the table and each one of us tell him how much we love him." What might we find if we stopped at the house down the road? There it is. Such a contrast. It looks so run down. And the name of on the front of the barn has been changed. The family's still there, but they're tenants now. Let's step up closer to the kitchen window. There are the kids coming in along with Dad, fresh from his morning chores. Dad walks down the hall and in a few moments later returns, pushing his wife's wheelchair close to the kitchen table. Before asking the blessing, Dad turns to his family and says, "Family, do you know what the day is? This is the anniversary of the greatest crises our family has ever gone through. Do you remember what happened 5 years ago?" As they recall that devastating night, the family joins hands. Dad prays, "Oh God, thank you. Thank you for your grace and goodness. At first, that night seemed like such a catastrophe, and yet, oh Father, how you have taught us things about yourself. You've opened the door to a knowledge of you through our suffering we never would have known any other way. God, you're so good." Do things such as these in our made-up story actually happen? Yes, they do. Stories like this one, could be told thousands of times over by Christian steelworkers, shut-ins, students, missionaries, teachers, shopkeepers. Unique stories, stories only they know about. Yet woven through them all are the threads that lead back to one all-knowing, all-wise, most high God. Oh, the wonder of the mysteries of our God. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 7:12. End of chapter. What do you think? What's rolling around in your mind? Mark, go ahead.
The tomato farmer, they pick tomatoes green nowadays.
He admits it's a made-up story. But it's this is like that made-up story was. Go ahead, Mark.
There's two things real quick. Sherry, remember Sherry?
Yes.
She planted a whole bunch of sunflowers and didn't have any water. So we prayed. And in a vision, I saw them all grow. Lord gave me a vision. But they all grow without water. The other thing is, there's a farmer, and I don't know which country it was, but it was an American farmer. And he got born again after he planted, I don't know what it was, wheat, corn, whatever it was. They didn't have any water. And he just got born again as he planted all that. Whatever it was, right? Hmm. The Lord made it grow for him. The whole field of it. The whole community came. Mm-hmm. They laughed at him at first. And then the whole community came and got the...
And what Dr. Needham's thoughts should lead us to is yes, and praise God. And when it doesn't turn out like this, praise God. Because it works out both ways.
Exactly.
It works out both ways in our lives, in a practical way, big and little. And I appreciate where he goes with that. Our all-knowing, all-wise, good Father.
It just amazes me and wants me to praise him more because as you were talking about, he knows everything. He just knows and knows. Why are you hanging with me?
Why is he
hanging with me? He's known everything I've done. He's known everything, you know, that I may do. And yet,
yep.
So, Dan, we don't have the time this morning for me to tell you the story of how I came face to face with this particular issue. And then it was a number of years later, sitting in a David Needham class, and he presented this particular dilemma to us. And it can be very disconcerting. And so I'm driven to Job, and in the 13th chapter, 15th verse of Job, he is in a different form faced with the same kind of dilemma. Even though he, God, kills me, slays me, I'll continue to hope in him. God's worthiness is not dependent upon me getting what I want. God has a plan. He's working his plan. Where I fit in the plan, I'm not sure. But it's going on all around us. And he is still God.
Yeah.
And he will accomplish his purpose. Whether he kills me or sustains me, in its details becomes irrelevant.
Yeah. With a couple of guys on Tuesday, we were in 1 John 3. And Ron, it talks about our heart condemning us. But God is greater than our heart. That's what this is all about. Yeah, I'm deserving condemnation. I've earned it. I'm worthy of that. But God is greater than my heart and knows all things. There's a particular wonder about that he loves me still. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for this brother, Lord, that has himself gone through things like he put in an honest story here. Lord, it's to drive us back to look at you and realize that we can't design things to work like you can and do. Miraculous things. And Father, when we have good people with opposing prayer, it doesn't cause you nervousness. Thank you that we can rely on you know best. We love you. We thank you. We trust you. Help us to trust you further. In Jesus' name, amen.